time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by Big Ass Fans. Ideal for home and business applications, including clean air system models to kill viruses. Go to bigassfans.ca.
Welcome to it, Roundtable for Thursday, the 18th of February. Joining us, host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, Bill Carroll. Hello, Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing very well, thank you. Diversity and Inclusion Consultant with the Diversity Agency is Andrea Barrett. Hey, Andrea.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
Let's start off with this conversation. We had a chat with Mothers Against Drunk Driving around 2:50 this afternoon, and we were learning a little more on a story we first brought to you earlier this week. It happens that during one of his official trade missions to the United States, Premier Doug Ford met a top executive of 7-Eleven. This company is now seeking permission to sell beer and wine at many of its Ontario locations. I think it's about 60 of them. Except it's not beer and wine in the traditional sense when we talk about going into a convenience store in Montreal or down in the United States. In this case, you'd actually have to drink in the store, and apparently they're going to serve food and have a separate section to serve this alcohol. I have no problem, Bill, with the Premier going on a trade mission. I think that's still vital and still necessary, but I'm not sure this idea is a good one overall.
Why? What's the problem with it? I'm a little surprised that it's not really beer and wine in the corner store. In a sense, it's more like turning 7-Elevens into a restaurant.
Yes, that's my problem with it. And then I'm going into my car and after I've got gas. It just seems, the whole thing seems wrong. And Mothers Against Drunk Driving had that concern as well.
Well, understandably, Mothers Against Drunk Driving doesn't want us to have any more access to alcohol than we have now. I'm not much of a drinker, so this probably would never happen to me. But what's the difference if I go to a 7-Eleven, grab a snack, I stay there for 40 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is, I leave, or if I go to a restaurant and do it? I don't really. There's lots of burger places now have beer. You can grab a burger in the afternoon and a beer. I don't really see it as a big deal. I think we got to start treating people like grown-ups. There are lots of places in the world that have much easier access to Ontario. And I mean, I don't see people crashing into each other and killing each other on the streets of Quebec, where it's a lot easier, or New York State. All around us, they have much easier access to beer and wine. And it doesn't seem that they have a bigger drinking and driving problem than we do. So it's interesting. I don't care one way or the other personally, but I don't have a big issue with it.
Andrea, will you be getting yourself a hot dog and an ice cold beer sitting down at a 7-Eleven anytime soon?
No, not anytime soon. And, full disclosure, back in high school, I was the president of Ontario Students Against Impaired Driving. So this story is like, it kind of bothers me. I'm all for being adults and being responsible and getting alcohol responsibly. If 7-Eleven were selling it as retail, that'd be fine. Go pick up your bottle of wine, your six pack, whatever, go home and have it. But consuming a glass of wine or a bottle of beer with a bag of chips and then, or hot dogs or pizza or whatever they sell at 7-Eleven, no disrespect. And then getting in a car, I just don't like that. You're not going to be inside 7-Eleven for an hour. You're going to go buy a couple of snacks and some alcohol. You're going to gulp it down. You're going to get in a car. The optics are not good. I don't like it.
The federal government today introducing a new bill repealing mandatory minimum penalties for certain drug offenses, a conversation we had earlier on The Rush, penalties that the Liberals say have been disproportionately harming Indigenous and Black offenders, those struggling with addictions. This bill also allows police and prosecutors to consider alternatives to laying charges in simple possession cases. Those alternatives could be diversion to addiction treatment programs or any other leeways that the courts might see fit. Now, when we talked about this earlier today, Bill, Ryan was looking at this as a very good opportunity for someone with a first-time drug offense to go into a treatment program as opposed to having to go to jail. A number of people pointing out at 7-10-10, it's also a way that we could possibly overburden the treatment system yet again, where people are waiting a couple of years to try and even get in.
A lot of things we're trying to balance here, right?
Yeah.
You want our political leaders to be able to, at least I do, set minimum sentences so that we all agree on what the punishment should be. It shouldn't entirely be left up to a judge, because sometimes they're not giving out sentences. And maybe some of this is maybe part of the problem with the wrong people are walking away because of the color of their skin, right? White guy, you go free. And this does happen in the real world. We all know this, that if you got a little bit of, well, I guess weed is not a problem these days. You got a little bit of drugs on you. It matters whether you get charged based on the color of your skin. I think that's what we need to fix, though. That's the part of the issue we need to fix, not take away minimum sentences. But I do think we have to be more mature about drugs and drug use, and more we have to recognize more that it's a disease. We've started to move in that direction. And I'd rather give people treatment than lock them up where what happens? They likely come out with worse friends, worse criminals. It's not working for us now. So I'm okay with changing it, but I don't like the idea of doing it through minimum sentence changes.
Andrea?
I'm for this. I think it's it's about time we recognize that we are disproportionately incarcerating Indigenous and Black people. And I think this hopefully will allow us to put more funding into areas where they need help, more mental health supports, more addiction health supports. So I think this is great. It's about time.
I asked the question whether or not I'm a bad guy for thinking this, and I'm going to repeat it here federal government today said newly arriving refugees will have the cost of mandatory hotel quarantines covered by the federal government. They'll also cover off the money for the testing, for COVID-19 testing. My simple question was, is it the right time to ask whether or not we should be bringing refugees into the country at a time where we've got a hospital problem, we've got employment problems, we've got a lot of issues. I don't really care about paying for quarantine or paying for testing bill, but I think there's at least a dialogue and discussion that needs to happen as to who we bring into the country at this current moment in time. And I say that as somebody fully supportive of legal immigration and a refugee program.
Yeah, but if you take a minimum amount of precautions when people arrive in the country, there's no reason that they have to bring COVID with them. And if they do, you can isolate them until the situation passes. I think we're overblowing the situation with COVID so that we can prevent people from coming as refugees. If people are legitimate refugees, you have to remember, they're escaping some really terrible lifestyle that is way worse than Canada with COVID. And also, there's COVID where they're coming from as well. So add that on top of whatever. As long as they're legitimate refugees, I think we should accommodate them. I don't have a problem with paying for that. I do think it's a time to slow down all travel. So that should include people who just want to immigrate. If they're in line, they should wait a little longer until things improve. And if you're Ted Cruz, maybe not go to Mexico in the middle of a crisis. And seriously, everybody's traveling. I don't leave my bedroom. It's just crazy out there. So, but refugees are refugees. And if they're legit, then we have to reach out our arms and into our pockets. I'm okay with that.
That's a mighty big bag that Ted Cruz had for a day trip. Andrea, when you look at this, do you disagree with Bill?
No, I'm with Bill. Ryan, you're a little bit of a bad guy. Just a little bit. Your intentions are good. Just because we're having this pandemic, the refugees aren't stopping. So we're obviously not encouraging more refugees into the country, but they're coming. We need to make sure that they're protected and that all of us Canadians are protected. The bill has to be paid. We need to quarantine everyone. So we need to treat them like everybody else. So this doesn't upset me. I think it's the right thing to do.
Let's continue the conversation about travel and talk about Canadians that are abroad right now and their plans to change their routes home and cross the border by land. Yes, the loophole still exists. To bypass Canada's pricey new hotel quarantine requirement, a lot of people are saying, when I come back, I'll just have someone simply bring my car down to the Niagara border. I'm going to fly into Buffalo. I'll take a cab across and I'll jump into my car and I'll save myself a couple of $1,000. Do you think there'll be enough people trying to do this, Bill, that it's going to become an issue? Or is this something that the provincial and federal government should close as quickly as possible?
I think it's going to be a huge issue. I mean, I know people who go down to the U.S. to fly out anyway, just because it's cheaper and drive back, right?
Right.
How many people go to Buffalo so they can get a flight out of Buffalo, and then they live in Hamilton, Toronto, wherever. People do it here in Ottawa. They drive down to the border as well, and they take a flight from upstate New York. It happens all the time. Yeah, we got to close this loophole, and we got to close it fast, because, man, am I sick and tired of people looking for loopholes while the rest of us do our part so that you can just, fly all around the world and do your thing? And now, do you not have a conscience that, I can sneak back into the country, and should I bring COVID with me and somebody's grandmother dies? Well, that's not on me, right? Because I had to leave the country. Everybody has to have a vacation. I am sick of these people.
It's interesting too, Andrea, because while Bill's saying that, he can't believe that these people are doing it. You know, we have the names of these people, where they live, and why they're taking advantage of trying to save a few bucks.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty bold about it.
They're bragging about it, yeah.
oh yeah, this loophole should have been shut down before, and shouldn't even, like, why didn't anybody think of this? If there is an opportunity for someone to find a way around something, of course they're going to do it. People have been going on vacations and flaunting it for months. They don't care. So anything to save money and avoid having to spend days at this hotel, obviously they're going to do. We need to shut down the borders everywhere, and or it's equal treatment. So land borders and flying in, everyone needs to be treated the same. No exception.
All right. One of us on this program is a big fan of space. The other person is just mean and was very mean earlier today when we were having... You were very mean. You were very mean to our science guy, Dan Riskin, who was lovely. You were mean to me. You were trying to make fun of me for being excited about landing on Mars today. A rover lands on Mars. It's going to collect rocks. It's going the landing itself was just out of this world, impossible to achieve, and we did that today, and it was phenomenal to see. It was phenomenal to watch, and they're looking for life on Mars. Bill, I know you. I've known you for years. Do you still get excited about this kind of stuff?
No, I have grown up. I'm with Greta on this. We should fix our problems right here on Earth not be spending on... No, I love it. I've been following every minute of what's going on. You know, no, listen. You can't even count the way lives have been improved and lives have been saved because of the original Apollo program to go to space. The serendipitous inventions that we found along the way because we challenged ourselves to be greater than we are. We discovered all kinds of things, not just Tang. So we can have a sweet breakfast drink. Nobody's drinking that anymore anyway. But, you know, no, really, equipment that is part of respirators,
yes,
and heart devices.
Medical equipment.
And, yeah, it goes on and on. There are literally thousands of them. So I'm really excited by this.
Andrea, this thing was traveling at 19,500 kilometers an hour. They had to use a parachute to slow it down, and then something that's basically like a puppetry machine, a sky crane, to lower it down gently over the surface of Mars.
Did you say Jay was mean to you earlier?
I wasn't mean.
Very mean.
I simply said, is this something we need to do? That's all I asked.
So, I'm Team Jay on this one. So, it sounds nice. There's lots going on right now.
They're bringing back rocks, Andrea. Rocks.
Yeah, but, that's nice. Yeah, I'm not. No. Sorry, Ryan.
All right. Well, I liked the two of you before today's show.
No, you two are not allowed to go home and watch satellite TV or no television for you, no movies, nothing. Nothing that's been invented by science you get to use. Go home,
Penance.
Your little lamp.
Penance.
Little whale oil lamp. That's
enjoy
it.
Enjoy your quill pens.
Keep your hands warm. That's what you're doing tonight.
Andrea, Bill, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Wow. Right back at you guys.
The CTV News is coming up right straight ahead at 6 o'clock. Our thanks to Mike, to Devin, to Donnie.
We return tomorrow afternoon at 2. Until then,
stay at home. Gourmet right here.
You have the best Thursday night ever. Good night.